The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. This is Wyatt Tomchek, everybody, next to me, and for the vacationing Kelly Bidlin. How you doing?
I'm doing. You know what, Gil? The streak is over.
What streak?
The Green Bay Packers have finally taken a wide receiver in the first round of the NFL draft.
Well, I'm glad that you're a Green Bay Packers fan. I'm glad you're happy about that.
Yeah, you see, I mean, I love the announcement. The crowd, right away, they knew what Mark Murphy was talking about. Michael Montesano texted me right away because he hit his bet on that.
Good on Montesano. He hit Green Bay wideout. He hit Buffalo cornerback. Mm-hmm. And again, as we'll talk about here momentarily about the draft, this might be the only way to bet some of these drafts moving forward, is to take shots on teams' positional players. So good on Michael for those yesterday. Not to mention Matt Brown saying, take a shot at Colson Loveland going as the first tight end as well.
That was a big surprise.
Over Tyler Warren, as Tyler Warren just, Colson Loveland, by the way, as Tyler Warren just falls right into the lap of the Colts at 14. We'll get into the NFL draft talk here momentarily. It is Friday, Felica and Fezzik, hour number two, for Wyatt tries to hijack it into Green Bay Packers radio for 2 hours. Felica breaking down the NFL draft. He's got some soccer picks as well. I know he has a baseball season-long play that he has made, a missed playoffs play. We'll get into that with Felica. And I don't know, maybe Wyatt, just maybe, he has a pick for the next Pope.
Our text chain yesterday.
I don't know. I don't know if he was serious or not.
When he was saying he was giving the odds out for the...
Why the silence when I said that?
I was just thinking about how funny it was. It's like he sends the text and I told him, I was like, you could have told me these were horses and I would have totally believed you. Some of the names.
They have convened the conclave. And the belief is that I don't know if you noticed, that the Holy Spirit will move the conclave to find the worthy successor of St. Peter. So we'll see. Felica, these are odds that are actually up, by the way, offshore. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. Paul Carr with his soccer bets this weekend. We'll do all of that. We'll update March, April wins. I know that the Mets are running away with the one shop that had just April wins, but we will update the March, April, because March, April is coming down to a four-team race. And we will get into that. Plus, I have a couple. Actually, it's two baseball picks in one. We'll do that momentarily as well. NFL draft, though, round number one. For me, it ends up as kind of a nothing burger, kind of a wash with everything. The Saints did not, while Montesano, good on Montesano for hitting the Packers to draft a wideout and the Bills to draft a cornerback, the Saints did not go defensive line edge at nine. So my big payday did not happen. Hit just as many as I missed out on. So it's a big nothing burger for me, but I think the takeaways, generally speaking, on the draft are, you know, that, and also, you know, one of the things that happened yesterday on the run-up, again, this is if you were able to watch live odds as the day progressed, somebody knew that Teteroa McMillan was going to the Panthers at 8. And so the live odds on the exact 8th pick crashed on McMillan. And it's one of those things where when you're watching it, it's easy to say now, you know, you hesitate because you're like, well, what would make you feel the stupidest if I followed this steam, if I chased this steam and then it ends up not being Teteroa McMillan? Finally, I couldn't resist. I did at plus 140. He ends up a minus whatever favorite, like a huge favorite. And he does go to Carolina at 8. But there's some wisdom in that, too, which is we prattle on about this draft for weeks. In our case, maybe 2 solid weeks of it for sure, once the Masters clears. And in the end, maybe the best strategy besides the positional angle that we were talking about all week with the Saints and D-line, which didn't happen, but with Montesano's that did, with Buffalo and Green Bay, maybe the other way to play it is just hang out till the final day, watch the live odds, and just go with that. And maybe you just come in, you make one bet, and you're done. Like, that's another thing.
Which then is a tough for us in Las Vegas because they
can't
close
do
it
that
down.
Here. Yeah.
And then you got scheduled maintenance for the day.
Scheduled maintenance. You do have to have a view to a faraway place.
Yes.
Let's put that clearly. As far as the other sort of there's other macro things. One, Drew Dinsick dubbed it as the flat Earth draft, where prospect 4 through 40, I believe he sort of couched it as, it's kind of a flat earth. There wasn't much of a difference in terms of evaluation, regardless of position. And so if we have another draft like that, we have to sort of understand that none of us knows a damn thing. And that betting, the way I put it was, it's the draft is already the most inexact science in terms of teams trying to project talent into the pros. It's already about as inexact a science as there is. And then for us betting on the inexactness of that is a whole nother level of mishugas, right? It's just, Wyatt's looking at me like, what? It's a whole nother level
of... I've been listening for 4 years. Yeah, okay. I know these words.
Okay. It's a whole other level of craziness, right? Where you're like, well, are we really sane doing this? And so yesterday, getting back to the top of this, so Cam Ward obviously goes number one to Tennessee. And this was, we should probably say, you know, the history here, was that up to the draft, right? And there was no last-minute trade prior to the draft. But every team went into that draft yesterday with its original first-round pick. That was for the first time in the common draft era that began in 1967. So we had never had the exact order stay put, right, without trades polluting it.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I was when they were going through and they mentioned on air, it's like, yeah, everyone has their first-round pick. I was like, wow, is there no trades, like,
well, trade happened pretty quick after Cam Ward, though.
That definitely threw us for a loop.
Adam Schefter breathlessly, if you're watching the ESPN telecast. By the way, brief aside, was anybody watching the ABC telecast of this? ESPN had their ESPN crew, and then Disney, obviously they're affiliated with ABC, they had their ABC crew. And every time they went to a player being drafted, they go to the montage, the highlight montage. They jacked the music up so loudly that you could not hear the announcers waxing poetically about the player.
Were you watching? Do you have YouTube TV?
Yes.
You know, so I have noticed this. I noticed it during the college football season on ESPN where I was like, man, I can barely hear the announcers and I could hear the band just like.
So maybe it's a YouTube TV thing.
I don't know what it is, but I've had that happen before.
The whole time I'm like, are they going to correct this? Are they going to correct this all night? It didn't correct. So right after Cam Ward goes to Tennessee, Schefter breathlessly, if you're watching the ESPN broadcast, comes on. And you know the deal, the Browns and the Jags make a trade up top, and the Jags move up to 2 from 5. The Browns go back from 2 to 5. The Jags get the number 2 pick. They get a 4th and a 6th rounder from the Browns. But the Browns get the 5th pick, right, which they ended up using on Mason Graham, the defensive tackle out of Michigan. They get next, and they also get a 2nd and 4th this year. So they have 2 of the first 4 picks today in round number 2, the 33rd and 36th overall. We'll see what they do with either of those. Maybe a quarterback, maybe Shador. We'll see. We'll learn a lot about what the Browns' plans are with what they do with those two. But they get the 5th pick, the 2nd and 4th, and next year's number 1 to draft Travis Hunter at 2. And this is where I now bleed into sort of my opinion on players, right? I'm on record as saying as great of a kid as Ashton Jeanty is, and it is a phenomenal story, a kid who did everything right, eschewed NIL money, stayed at Boise State, wanted to create a legacy there. I'll get my money in the pros. But I just don't know what the Raiders, like, I just think the pairing with the Raiders at 6, what are we making him out to be, Saquon already? We're making him out to be Derrick Henry? We're making him out to be even Josh Jones, who all three of those guys went to already good teams. And in the case of Henry and Saquon, are generational backs, are we expecting this of Jeanty if we're drafting him at 6? This is my opinion. And then the thing with Travis Hunter is, and I kind of agree with what a lot of people are saying about Travis Hunter, which is you're trying to be both a wide receiver and cornerback. The Jags are indicating that they're going to let him do that. Can you be great at either if you are doing both of those things? And every NFL player that you hear talk about this to a man says it's not going to be possible for him to be great at one of those if he's playing both of those. And the Jags, are they a Travis Hunter away from winning the Super Bowl? I don't know. I just find both of those picks, Jeanty at 6 and Travis Hunter at 2, to be a little dicey for me, and I'm happy to be wrong. I hope I'm wrong about both. I certainly hope I'm wrong about these kinds of things because they're kids. I only hope well for them, but just from a player personnel standpoint, I don't necessarily think they're going to be worthy of what just happened. But getting back to that trade, what that trade in essence did, and I think we can trace it to this trade, because I think if that trade between the Browns and the Jags doesn't happen, maybe this doesn't follow. But because of that trade, what ended up happening is 1 through 6, so Ward to Tennessee 1, Henry to the, it turns out to be the Jags at 2, Abdul Carter to the Giants at 3, Will Campbell to the Patriots at 4, Mason Graham ends up going to Cleveland at 5, and Genty to the Raiders at 6. Those six picks, because of that trade, ended up being exactly what we thought the first six picks were going to be 48 hours before the draft. So the last 24 to 48 hours where we heard the rumors of, remember the last couple shows we did, last two or three shows we did, oh, Genty to the Jaguars at 5, oh, McMillan to the Jaguars at 5. Everything we thought the draft was going to be at the top in for the first 3 weeks of April ended up being the case probably because that trade happened. And there's no way as bettors, getting back to our real point on this, there's no way as bettors we can anticipate stuff like that. By the way, the Jags and Browns kept it pretty quiet. Right up until the day of.
I was gonna ask you, were you a little bit concerned? I know you had Travis Hunter going number two when that trade happened that the Jaguars moved up.
No.
Okay.
No. It felt like they were absolutely making that trade because they think Travis Hunter is going to absolutely catapult that franchise. And there's a bunch of other things about the draft too, which is, you know, the books here, and we'll talk about from a Nevada perspective. Did the books, and Will Hill brought this up, he was kind enough to have me on Should Have Bet More, his podcast yesterday, and he brought this up. Did the books leave money on the table because of all of this? Like, I think people who won on this draft, probably it was more modest generally, and I don't know if the books ended up losing, but it felt to me like they probably lost a little or probably could have won for the second consecutive year. I know they took maybe, in some cases, a small loss last year. But I do feel like they might be leaving money on the table. Do I think their behavior will change in coming years? I don't, because I think the muscle memory of them getting killed just is emblazoned in their brains, and they'll never change, despite the fact that they probably could have won yesterday. We'll come back, more NFL and baseball next.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
Want to bet smarter? Start with smarter insights. Right now you can check out round one of the NFL draft recap, round two and three best bets, and Greg Peterson's MLB best bets. Later today you can check out Zach Cohen's NBA best bets and player props, Jonathan Davis's NHL picks, and weekend EPL and FA Cup picks. I think Paul Carr has an FA Cup pick coming up as well. Right now, you can sign up for our summer special for only $59 for full VSiN Pro access. That's until August the 1st. Just head to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up today. Skill Alexander, Wyatt Tomchek in for the vacationing Kelly Billen. Kelly Billen caught a massive fish. Did you see that?
I was going to mention that. I don't know who else is in the photo, but Kelly's obviously got this massive fish, and he's like, I won.
This broadcasting thing doesn't work out for him. Fisherman.
I wonder how long that took to reel in. That was a pretty big fish.
Hey, Kelly had a little fight in him.
Have you ever done deep sea fishing?
No, I have not. Would love to, though.
I feel like I would get seasick.
I've done the thing where you stand in the water. What do you call that? Fly fishing?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. That was.
I was like, stand in the water. You mean like just... at the beach?
I didn't get it.
Oh.
I was like, what are we doing here? I Larry Davided my way through the whole thing. I'm sure that wasn't annoying. At all. What are we doing?
Oh, man. By the way, if you want a good laugh after the show, you remember this last season of Curb when Larry's trying to talk to Siri?
Uh-huh.
Just rewatch that one. I did that with my roommate. God,
scene with Siri, though, was too try hard to me.
Oh, no.
Like,
I felt
that. The people who love that scene, I think, love the fact that, because it's like Curb Your Enthusiasm 101, and I felt like everything else is much more natural, and you don't see it coming. That you kind of saw coming to me.
It just felt at home. Because how many times have you used Siri, and it doesn't work? But yeah, during the Super Bowl, when we kept talking about Nick Sirianni, this dang thing kept popping up. I was like, the Eagles cannot make the Super Bowl ever again. My Siri just kept going off every time at work.
By the way, speaking of the Eagles, man, they always do well. 31st pick, they trade with the Chiefs to go one up. Jahad Campbell, linebacker from Alabama. Howie Roseman always gets it right. I thought the Giants, by the way, Giants can't be sad. Speaking of the NFC East, Abdul Carter, and then they trade up. They trade up into the first round with the Chargers to grab Jackson Dart from Ole Miss. So
Rams, right?
I think...
No, the Chargers took the running back from North Carolina.
I think the Giants traded with the Chargers to grab Dart, and then Atlanta traded with the Rams to grab James Pierce, I believe.
Now you're making me think. Well, was it the Texans? Texans were part of one of the trades, I think, with the
Oh, maybe. No, you're right. Giants traded with the Texans. Yes, there we That's go. Correct. Giants traded with the Texans to grab Jackson Dart. You're absolutely right. Chargers grabbed O'Marrion Hampton a few picks earlier, running back out of UNC at 22. So, yeah, Giants with the 25th pick grabbed Dart. So, Dart and Carter, Dart via trade with the Texans. Good on them. Good on the Giants. I mean, you know, you're not going anywhere this year, but that's too good, perhaps. I don't know what Dart, if Dart will ever play, if he will be a thing. But that's certainly a fine first round for them, it would appear on paper. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Jamie Leva talking about, I guess maybe Dave Ross talked about this and Jensen talked about this. He says, the gentleman from the D.C. area, he's talking about me, had the Mets first to 10 and the Twinkies most wins by end of April. To be fair, the Twinkies were based on schedule. Have a fantastic day, gentlemen. Yes, as we'll get to here momentarily, we'll show March, April. The real killer thing for me is, I ended up betting Mets first to 10. They didn't get there. I think they were at 8 when the first team got to 10. And they are crushing the April onlys, and they are kind of in the driver's seat. I think it's a 4-team race. I kind of think it's a 2-team race, as we'll show here momentarily. Well, maybe we can show it now. Can we show it right now?
Yeah, we can show it right now.
Because right now you have the Mets. The Mets at 18-7. So the Mets are 18-7. They have 6 games left. 4 at Washington, 2 versus the Diamondbacks at home. Mets are 18-7. 6 games left. 4 at Washington, 2 versus Arizona. San Diego and San Francisco both have 17 wins. San Diego's 17-8. The Giants are 17-9. 1 win behind the Mets. Remember, this is a dead heat at William Hill Caesars. This is a tiebreaker when it comes to Circa, if you bet it there, March, April. And the tiebreaker is fewest losses. First tiebreaker, second is the second tiebreaker after fewest losses. What is the second tiebreaker after fewest losses? Now, I forget already.
Well, I don't know.
It's fewest losses, and then it's... Oh, man, I forgot already. Anyway, fewest losses is the first tiebreaker on that. And so the problem is, even though they're one game behind San Diego and San Francisco, one game behind the Mets for most wins March, April, the Mets have 6 games left. The Giants and Padres only have 5 games left, and 2 of them are against each other. So I actually, even though they're one game back, they are behind the eight ball because, and again, San Diego's is 3 versus Tampa, 2 versus the Giants, all at home. San Francisco is 3 versus Texas at home, then the 2 at Petco at San Diego. The team that I think is the real challenge to the Mets, both from a tie perspective and maybe even to clip them, the Dodgers do have 6 games left like the Mets do. The Dodgers are 2 wins behind the Mets for March, April. The Dodgers' remaining 6 games, though, are, ready for this, 3 versus Pittsburgh, 3 versus Miami, all at Chavez Ravine.
That's a gauntlet of a schedule.
So you almost have to assume the Dodgers, I mean, Dodgers at worst are 5-1 there. I mean, they look like a 6-0, but at worst are 5-1. I mean, it's baseball. Anything can happen. But I guess what I'm saying is this feels like the Mets are the favorite for sure, but I think the Dodgers are the sneaky team that could still clip them at the end. So anyway, that's March, April. Thanks for the tweet, Jamie, as well. Lance Schaefer, Gil, my Bears take basically a big body wide receiver that plays tight end. Bowers was there last year. How do they not take Ty Warren? Warren is so obviously going to be a star. And then he says, Ryan Poles just doesn't get it. Yeah, Ryan Poles may not, man.
I will say, as a Green Bay Packer fan,
what he's referring to, by the way, is that they went Colston Loveland, tight end from Michigan, as opposed to Ty Warren, tight end from Penn State, wears 44, is a tribute to John Riggins. Matt Brown was the guy who came on here late on the show a couple days ago. He's like, that's a bet. Colston Loveland, top tight end. It was like plus 475 or something like that. So look, good on Matt.
100% bias here. I'm a huge Michigan fan. Watch a lot of the Wolverines games. I think Colston Loveland is the real deal. I mean, he was putting up, Gil, some impressive stats, and he had quarterbacks who really struggled, even just throwing 5-yard outs. I think it's going to be a real good pick for the Bears. Although I will say I thought Tyler Warren was the best tight end. I think Colston Loveland was definitely, you know, 1B.
I can't keep up with your teams. You're Michigan.
Yes.
You're Green Bay Packers. Mm-hmm. You're Milwaukee Bucks.
Milwaukee Bucks. Hopefully we win tonight down 2-0. It's a little tough right now.
And Atlanta Braves.
Atlanta Braves. Now, all of it's based on really my dad. My dad used to work for the Braves. So that's why it's all I'm a big Braves fan. Family's in Wisconsin. Dad went to Michigan, so I grew up watching those games. I just happen to pick the Bucks, you know, because they're in Milwaukee. And then Golden Knights.
All right.
Because they're in Vegas. And UNLV.
Golden Knights down 2-1. Best of 7 first round series.
Yeah, it's not good in the playoffs for my teams here, Gil.
Teasers and parlays. Shout out to Gil. Luke, Vegas Refund, and Drew, Whale Capper, for the hard work and content provided on the NFL Draft. Everyone appreciates it. Hopefully you can all run it back next year on the pod. Thank you. Hope so. Hope it's less of a flat earth pod. And this is from Brian Schaefer, who I think this is a sentiment that needs to be brought up. He says, Gil, I am done betting on the draft. He said, I had Warren to be the first tight end. Saw he went to minus 1,000 yesterday and was all excited of the line move. Then I get heartbroken yesterday with Loveland. This just makes us realize we know nothing. We don't. We don't know a thing. We really don't on some of this stuff. And I hear you, man. Like, the same thing with the Saints to pick a defensive line edge position player. I got it at 7-1. It was plus 450 a few days before the draft. It was the favorite going into yesterday as well. And they don't go defensive line or edge because the draft broke in a way where they just didn't feel like doing that. So, you know, I hear you, Brian. I think that is a valid sentiment. Now, will we, as the draft approaches next year, will we bow out of the draft? No, not entirely. But I do think I think the lesson, again, going back to the first segment, is if you reduce it to a couple basic tenets, which is those positional plays are smart, and maybe I watch the movement the day of.
I got a question for you. And with this draft, obviously, we only saw two quarterbacks get taken in the first round. It wasn't really quarterback heavy. Do you feel like you have a better idea of the draft if you see there are maybe four or five guys that can go in the first round at quarterback, or do you think it's easier when it's less like this?
Oh, you're relating it to quarterback specifically?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you can relate it to quarterback specifically. Probably if it was more quarterback heavy, though. I mean, that's just by percentage. It's a higher percentage of the first round, so maybe it's that much easier based on that. But I just think this entire thing was flat earth right after the top. Torch D, well, I read some fake news article that said the Broncos were thinking about trading up for Travis Hunter. I bet on the Broncos' first pick to be a cornerback at 20-1. That worked out. Good for you. Broncos do go Jade Barron, cornerback from Texas, with their first pick at number 20. Let's see, Chad Lee, one simple rule to follow, deep sea fishing, take motion sickness meds right before venturing out. Otherwise, you'll be super tired if taken morning of. By the way, I do have a baseball play today. I have not talked about this in previous days because we've had some combination of ground ball pitcher and, you know, a fly ball pitcher named DeGrom. So it was not quite as overy. The opportunities weren't in Sactown in Sacramento, Bay Area and back down. But today we do have such a situation, Wyatt. And I'm betting first five over and full game over in Sacramento between the White Sox and the Athletics. You are not required to watch this Major League Baseball game, but you can bet on it. Over five, first five, over nine for the game. Luis Severino going for the Athletics. Tyler Gilbert going for the White Sox. Fly ball pitcher. Let's go over. Both first five and full game. That's the baseball play of the day from moi. We will come back. Paul Carr, soccer plays. That's on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't forget about the sharp plays, unmatched transparency with records updated daily, AI betting analysis, real-time global betting information, and alerts directly from the pros. We invite you to check it out, sharpplays.com. It's Gil Alexander, Friday from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Stringfellow Hawk, our buddy, he's a Giants fan here. That Giants trade was horrible, he says. They could have got him or Sanders, talking about Dart or Sanders, in the second round. Now they got two less picks for offensive linemen, which they've needed for years. I hate them. I love fans who hate their teams. Oh, I was with you for 25 years. Trust me, I know the feeling. I generally think trades, I mean, again, I'll get back to the Travis Hunter trade. I think Jacksonville's stupid. Like, you trade a first-round pick next year, not to mention, you know, in this year's draft, other picks, but a first-rounder to move up from 5-2 to grab Travis Hunter, who, again, like, is he going to make you a Super Bowl champion? I just don't see the wisdom in it. And I'm being, that's an understatement. Jared Albert, yo, Gil, would like you and Fez's opinion later during hour two. 24-year-old guy coming solo to Vegas for a few nights. Where should I stay, eat, and hang out? Well, Jared, the answer to that question, I'll ask Stevie later. But the answer to that question depends on a lot of things. One, what are you coming here to do? The Cosmo would be one answer if you're trying to, you know, hang out and watch people and talk to people, if you know what I mean. The Win would be the place if you're rolling with a lot of cash. And if you're just here to bet sports, Circa would obviously be the place to go. By the way, the pool at Circa, not too bad for watching people, if you know what I mean. Dan Groeschel, it's been about 12 hours since the pick, and I'm already exhausted with Packers Twitter and the green and golden tweets. Yes, they get the speedster Matthew Golden at 23. Green and golden, get it? Banshees of Atlantic City, betting on a papal conclave? It isn't hard enough to decipher the intentions of NBA awards voters. Now I have to handicap the movements and inspirations of the Holy Spirit when he continues to ignore all the advanced metrics. That's the thing about the Holy Spirit. Doesn't care about the metrics. We'll see if Felica has a pick later. And D-Gen Southern Gent. It's so great hearing from fans of different teams and their takes. He says, D-Gen Southern Gent says, happy Fontenot finally didn't fudge it up for Falcons fans Friday, Gil and Wyatt. That's the Fontenot finally didn't fudge it up for Falcons fans Friday. So glad the Falcons actually drafted someone that the fans can actually get behind. And is referring to a couple picks, maybe. Atlanta goes early in the 15th pick. They go with Jaylon Walker, the linebacker from Georgia. Jaylon Walker at 15. And then later they traded back into the first round. They traded with the Rams and took James Pierce, the edge rusher out of Tennessee. By the way, you see James Pierce? Didn't he have a WNBA girlfriend in that shot? Did you catch that? Is it Rekaya Jackson is her name? Little sort of thrown-in nugget during the draft yesterday. That and Jackson Dart's mom. Swole. Paul Carr is swole, everybody. He talks soccer with us every week, maybe multiple times a week. You can follow him on Twitter, at Paul Carr, C-A-R-R. Part of True Media Networks, which is Advanced Analytics, which they have permeated throughout major sports in North America. Also the host of the Expected Value podcast and part of the Ringer soccer betting podcast. He joins us now from his home in Topeka, Kansas. How you doing, Paul?
I'm good. My favorite part of draft night is the war rooms and trying to see if there's people I know in there. Because we work with NFL and a lot of the analytics staffs in different areas, but it's just trying to find the guy or the girl in the background, like, oh yeah, we were in a meeting with her or him or things like that. So I spotted a few of them last night.
I think I have a couple. One is the group congratulations, right? That everybody sort of like you see right after they make their kick, right after they make their pick, pardon me, but before it's announced to us, the audience, everybody just glad handing each other, just shaking hands, dapping it up like they solved, you know, global cancer, right? Washington, right. For instance, you know, I'm a Washington fan. I'm waiting for their pick. They go with Josh Connerly, tackle from Oregon. I couldn't tell you anything about him. And Adam Peters, the GM we trust. But the way that they were congratulating themselves, you thought that, you know, Daryl Green dropped to 29 again in terms of Redskin history. So it was just so funny to watch that. And then my second thing is my imitation of every GM tonight after their second round pick. Here's my imitation of every GM after their second round pick tonight. Okay. Oh, my God. We couldn't believe he was still available.
Right.
Everyone.
This guy was a first rounder on our board, Gil.
That's right. Oh, my God. I can't believe he fell into our lap. You, by the way, so I mentioned Michael Montesano came on here yesterday. He nailed cornerback to the Bills. I believe it was 5-1. Don't hold me to that. Also, or maybe that was wide receiver to the Packers was 5-1, but he also hit Buffalo going to cornerback. I mentioned Matt Brown had first tight end to go, Colston Loveland, plus 475. You made a bet based on this show some time ago.
Yeah, this was in December. Cam Ward to go number one overall at plus 300. I can't remember the guest you had on talking about it. And I don't watch a lot of college football, so I didn't have a preconceived notion of anything, but it was basically the take was basically like Cam Ward is by far the best prospect, and at that point it looked like the Titans or I forget who else was in the mix, but somebody who needed a quarterback was going to be number one, and Ward seemed like the clear number one guy. So I was like, all right, that's enough for me, let's go.
It might have been Montesano, and 3-1 wasn't even the best. Like, we forget there was a whole period of this, you know, this year where Ward was not fait accompli to go to Tennessee at number one.
Yeah.
All right, to global football, if you will. Let's just talk about the Prem. Liverpool is on the cusp of clinching this?
Yep, they get a point this weekend against Tottenham, and it's all over. So a win or a draw. I mean, it's been over more or less for several months, but officially they would clinch with a win or a draw against Tottenham this weekend.
All right, and how did we do last week?
Last week we went 2-1. We got a Newcastle loss. This wasn't a pick, but Newcastle loss doesn't help our top four play, but there's still even money to be top four, and Brentford got a nice win. So they're now odds-on favorite to finish top half, which we got at plus 400 before the season. But 2-1 overall in the picks last week.
Nice. Moving the chains. All right, we have a three-pack, as always, from you. But we should point out that two are in the Premier League. One is an FA Cup semifinal pick. Could you explain to the person, we do this all the time when an FA Cup pick comes up randomly, annually. Could you explain to folks, where does the FA Cup rank in the hierarchy of international soccer tournaments?
Yeah, so the FA Cup is a domestic tournament in England, and it has clubs from the Premier League all the way down to, you know, Gill's YMCA team or something. There's 700 clubs that enter this tournament, and the Premier League teams come later in the competition, et cetera, and they almost always win. But it's the oldest domestic competition in the world. It started in 1876 or something like that. So very prestigious in England. And every country has some version of a tournament like this, where it's kind of like playing your conference tournament in college basketball, but playing it like stretched over the course of a season instead of all in one weekend.
Okay. See, I even got that wrong. I called it an international tournament. It's a domestic tournament in England. Shall we start with that one? FA Cup semifinal pitch?
Sure. Yeah, this one is on Sunday. This is a semifinal. So this is a knockout match. So this is a 90-minute bet. Under 2.5 in Nottingham Forest and Manchester City. This game is at Wembley. And Forest is a, you know, they want to win this game 1-0. Like, they want nothing more than that. They beat City 1-0 earlier this season. And that's what they're going to try to do. City's attack has gotten better in some ways. The team has gotten better the last few months. But Erling Haaland is out with an injury. So this is not the high-powered City that we're used to seeing the last few years. Forest is going to keep it tight. It's a knockout match. You know, so if it goes to extra time at 1-1, you win your bet regardless of what happens in extra time. So I just think this is a classic Forest type of game, knockout, cagey type of match in the semifinals. So simple under 2.5 at minus 105.
Cagey type of match. Nottingham Forest, Man City at Wembley, under 2.5 goals. That is on Sunday. To the Premier League. You have two plays tomorrow. What do you got?
Yep. Got another under here. So more rooting against human achievement. Chelsea Everton. Under 2.5. I got this at minus 110. I saw some minus 105s, maybe even monies out there this morning. This game's Saturday. Everton has been an under machine lately. 7 straight games, under 2.5 goals. This is the David Moyes effect, their old manager who's back. We hit this one last week against Manchester City with ease. And Chelsea, you know, they're fighting for a top 4 spot, but their offense has been pretty anemic lately. Just 6 goals in their last 6 games. And 2 of those were against Ipswich, so those barely count. And so you have a team that doesn't score a lot lately against a team that's not super interested in goals at either end in Everton. Pretty straightforward here, too. Under 2.5. I got it at minus 110. You might be able to find better out there right now.
All right. And then you have one of our favorites, the win to nil bet. We should point out in this day and age, this is not win to NIL. You don't get an NIL deal if you win this. This is win to nil. What do you have here?
That's a very different thing.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. Win to nil. Some books have this pre-made. Some books you parlay a win with both teams to score no. So there's a couple different ways to get there, depending on how your book lists the options. So I have Newcastle win to nil against Ipswich Town at plus 105. This is Saturday. Ipswich Town is on the verge of being relegated. Newcastle is fighting for a top 4, or really top 5 spot now in a Champions League berth. 5 games against newly promoted teams this year. Newcastle has won them all and allowed a total of 1 goal. And you throw out one game where they got an early red card and they've only given up a total of 2 expected goals. They're running a little bit hot, but not terribly. They've just dominated these newly promoted teams on the whole. And Ipswich is very much that, a bottom 3 in just about every offensive and defensive category this year, which is why they're going to go back down. So Newcastle to coast at home, win to nil, plus 105.
All right. Chelsea, Everton, under 2.5 goals tomorrow in the Premier League. Newcastle win to nil against Ipswich Town. Also tomorrow, and then the FA Cup semifinal on Sunday. Nottingham Forest and Man City under 2.5 goals on Sunday. Paul, enjoy the weekend. Good luck with the bets.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Paul Carr, you too. Paul Carr, everybody. At Paul Carr on Twitter. Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Jason Weingarten, all his thoughts and bets on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This summer, go all in at Circa Las Vegas with the ultimate getaway package, just $400, all in. You'll get a 2-night stay at Circa, $100 dining credit, $100 beverage credit, and your very own day bed at Stadium Swim, where the party never stops. And apparently, as the kids feel these days, if you get a day bed, the girls look at you. I think that's the strategy. All for just $400. Resort fees and taxes included. We got them on our own merits back in the day. Now you got to get a day bet. This limited time offer is valid for stays between May 26th and September 4th. Don't miss out. Lock in your all-in summer package now at CircaLasVegas.com. Let me repeat that. $400 all-in, two-night stay at Circa, $100 dining credit, $100 beverage credit, and your own day bet at Stadium Swim. No resort fees, taxes on top of the $400. It's all included. Wow. CircaLasVegas.com. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. JC at JC562076. Did your viewer say 23 and solo trip to Vegas? My goodness, us married millennials dream. Am I right? I believe he said 24 and single on his way solo trip to Vegas, but your sentiment remains correct. It's pretty amazing. Jason H. 11. I hope Kelly really caught that fish and it wasn't one of those where the guide hooks it and Kelly just reels it in. Kelly says it was all him, for the record. Trip Tepper. Trip, I think you're right about this. He said the trades by the Jags and the Falcons, respectively, were bonkers. Atlanta also gifted the Rams a 2026 first-round pick. Browns and Rams both fleece their trade partners. GM Terry Fontenot commits elder abuse on Arthur Blank 2 years in a row on draft night. Yeah, I've been going off about the Browns and the Jaguars. I don't know if I've been going off, but I do not see the wisdom in trading your first-round pick. Picks in general, I don't think some teams get how valuable they are. But first, my goodness, for Travis Hunter and then Atlanta doing it, I just don't get it. You've got to be right on the cusp of winning a Super Bowl to do something like that to me. Scott, New York Mets 16. May have to put an R rating on Numbers Game second hour as Chris Felica was potty mouth on his podcast and Gil drops an F-bomb on the Will Hill podcast. Get the dump button ready because who knows what Fezzik may do. Yeah, I'm pretty good at compartmentalizing, but we'll see with the guests. You can never tell with those guys. Joe C714, wasn't the Rams moving their pick to the Falcons this year for their 2026 first the best move besides the Browns? What's the over-under for Falcons wins next year? Love it. So he's with that sentiment about trading firsts not being a great thing. D-Gen Southern Gent, already sent that one. This is 3Jack, H3131. Gil, it's been a long week, and I'm thankful for it being Friday, but can you explain, if you know what I mean, in more detail? It felt like the second half of the draft made more sense. Maybe it's because those teams win. I think there is some wisdom in that, that those teams do win, and there's a reason why they win. I can't remember what I said, if you know what I mean about, though. I must say that. Ladies and gentlemen, it comes to us from under a cloud of smoke. At Spreadopedia is his Twitter handle. And he comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. It's Jason Weingarten, everybody. How you doing, Jason?
Good morning. It's doing pretty good. You know, had the draft last night. Got to watch the Clipper game. And now we're going to do the draft again. Got some baseball today. It should be a good day.
Can you, or am I allowed to say this? Are you going to be mad at me for saying what the exchange that just happened before we got on air? Am I allowed to talk about that real briefly? Because I thought it was funny.
Go for it.
Jason is engaged to his lovely bride, bride-to-be. And I asked Jason, I go, is there a date? And Jason, you said what?
May 18th.
And then what did you quickly say right after that?
Apparently I was wrong and it's May 31st.
She off camera, she's like, May 31st. Jason is off to a flying start. Okay, let's start with the draft before we get to your baseball plays. You've been tweeting about Shador dropping here, and Shador is available tonight. You think that he will? I mean, Cleveland's got the first pick tonight. They've got the 33rd overall. They got the 36th. So that's first and fourth in the second round. And then New Orleans has the 40th pick, which is the eighth pick in the second round. So within eight picks, you have the Browns and the Saints with three picks. You might think they would want to draft a quarterback. Do you think they do? One of them.
I don't really see anything that's changed overnight that makes me think that you need to draft him here. If you didn't want to draft him at 23 or 32 or move up to get him, I don't necessarily think you need to draft him at 30 or 30, you know, at 30, 33 or 34. Honestly, I'm not even sure he's going to be a second round pick. I think he could drop to the third. You know, the narrative around him was all narrative. I think ESPN did a massive disservice to him last night, continuing to talk about him, you know, when Cam Ward was being selected. I thought the draft coverage by ESPN last night was you know, horrible.
Can I stop you there? You're absolutely right about that. That was really weird. Like, Cam Ward is about to be drafted or was just drafted, and they're still going on about Shador. I thought that was really a disservice to Cam, too. for sure.
I said this morning on Twitter, and I said it in all seriousness, but Mel Kiper should be pulled off the air today. I mean, in no world should he have been allowed by the production to go on the draft and just continue to talk about Shedeur Sanders when it was clear that not only was he not going to be drafted, but his analysis was completely wrong. I mean, he embarrassed himself on the air last night. They're talking about putting him in the Hall of Fame as a contributor. I think last night should clearly end that conversation.
It calls up another thing about the broadcast too. This came up, Will and I were talking about this on his podcast yesterday, which is we've also gotten to an era. This is a little different than what we were just talking about, but we've also gotten in, because you brought up Kiper. You remember the famous footage of him saying the Indianapolis Colts don't understand the draft, and then Bill Polian came on and went after Kiper. ESPN, they don't go after, they don't say much negative anymore about players. It's become way too vanilla of a broadcast as well, where nothing that controversial is said because they're all kind of scared about any backlash, or maybe they're too far in bed with the NFL now with their TV contracts. So that's part of the broadcast too that I sort of miss a lot about. But the Shedeur thing's interesting, and again, I'll say it again. I think a lot of the hate towards Shedeur is drift hate on people who don't like Dion. I did think that the NFL assistant coach who really went after him but was anonymous, that's gutless, right? You should get
that was, I thought that was unprofessional, and I was surprised that the NFL allowed that to be published on one of their own, you know, their own site, essentially.
Totally agree. But I will say this, right? But on the other hand, and Shedeur might be a nice kid, on the other hand, people don't like flashiness if you haven't done anything. And people might perceive him to be that way, right? He doesn't do himself any favors either. I think both things are true.
The NFL doesn't care that he's Deion Sanders' son, and I think it actually works against him significantly, especially with Deion being a prominent coach. If you're an NFL coach and you're on the hot seat, the last thing you want is Shedeur Sanders in your quarterback room having to answer questions every week about Deion wanting your job, or Deion getting questions about his son every week at his Colorado press conferences. It's a disaster of a situation. Deion did his son no favors the last couple of years, kind of, you know, putting all this focus around him and doing all the stuff he did. The NFL didn't buy it. When it came time for, you know, everyone to ante up at the table, the NFL said, no, we're not interested.
Yes.
He's going to have to wait, and he might keep waiting. I'm not sure he goes in the top half of the second round. He will get drafted. He will get drafted. He will have an NFL career. He will get an opportunity. But I'm not sure it's going to be early today. I'm not sure when it's going to be. And it's just the writing's been on the wall. It's been on the wall for months. It's been on the wall since him and his camp said he's not going to attend the draft. And everybody who's been hyping this and talking about it, and ESPN has done just an incredible disservice to Shedeur, you know, putting him in this situation to begin with. He's probably been getting bad advice. There's so much around the draft. I mean, we only have a couple minutes, but Travis Hunter mentioned last night that he was looking at Zillow's in Jacksonville on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
So this whole narrative around the trade, you know, happened. I mean, it seems like they had a trade, you know, at least in principle a day before. So so much of this narrative and stuff surrounding the draft is just, there's no truth to it at this point.
Well, you are correct. The proof is in the pudding, and no one thought well enough of Shedeur to go first round. And yeah, I mean, the Travis Hunter trade stuff and looking at Zillow and Jacksonville is a little bit eyebrow raising as well. By the way, Shedeur -350 to go to the Browns today at DraftKings, +350 to go to the Raiders, 6-1 to go to the New Orleans Saints. Everybody else 12-1 or longer. Real quick, baseball, Skeens versus Yamamoto. I know you've got an opinion on that tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be a good game. Like I said last week, with Yamamoto was playing against Grom and the Rangers, I'll be waiting for the first inning price to tick higher today, and then I'll bet the best first inning price I can get. Total's currently 7, so you're going to get a very nice number there. Yamamoto's within $1 of Skeens for the Cy Young favorite, so you have the two Cy Young favorites going against each other tonight. Should be a great game. I'm looking forward to watching that. I got Chris Sale and the Braves -124. And Abbott and the Reds -114 versus the Rockies. Anytime you could lay -114 versus the Rockies this season, you're probably going to have to do it. Go Dodgers, I guess.
Are you making a play on the Dodgers, though, or no?
No, I'm thinking about going to the game though tonight. It should be a fun game. Okay. That's going to be the chance to see two Cy Young pitchers. It's going to be a game worth watching.
Absolutely. But we do have the two picks from Jason. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it, man. Jason Weingarten, everybody. Coming back with Felica and Fezzik next.